Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, a world champion in not one, not two, but three different sports, Mark Henry and I talk about the amazing and educational Vice documentary on China. Unbelievable life and career. We talk about it today on the Busted Open Podcast. Also, we talk to owner and president Tony Khan with a really amazing story about his father this close to Father's Day. Right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
Live from the SiriusXM studios in New York City, this is Busted Open. Your only destination for daily pro wrestling talk in the entire world. The champ is busted open. From the independent scene to the main event of WrestleMania, no one covers pro wrestling like Busted Open.
Eddie Guerrero was busted open.
Hot topics, breaking news, and interviews with some of the biggest names in the game.
Roman Reigns has been busted open.
A show designed for the fan, by the fan. Old school.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
Meets new school.
Has betrayed WCW.
Oh my God!
Busted Open.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Live now.
That's what I do.
Here are your hosts, Dave LaGreca and WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry.
Ooh, welcome to Busted Open. On a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, Dave LaGreca and WWE Hall of Famer, the world's strongest man, a world champion in not one, not two, but three different sports, my tag team partner today, the one and only Mark Henry. Mark, how are you?
Dave, I would like to say that I am 100% great, super fragilistic, expialidocious. But I'm not. Oh. I mean, last night watching the China story on Vice was pretty rough at times. Shout out to Evil Ed Robinson, who's not here today. Yeah. Tried to call me during it, but during that the time that he tried to call, I was too emotional for a conversation. So, Ed, I didn't answer your call. I had a reason for it. The whole world of pro wrestling is doing pretty good, too. That's kind of been, like, the thing that I've been the most enamored with over the last 2 or 3 weeks because of how good wrestling is on all the brands. I mean, there's been some exceptions on Mondays. as you would say, but for the most part, Dave, when wrestling is good, my life is good. And, you know, we have to watch about 15 hours of wrestling a week. So, life is pretty good right now.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good, but you're right. Last night I watched a China documentary just like you. We had on Wednesday, we had the director of the China documentary, Mara Strauch, was on with us. And she was not a wrestling fan, didn't grow up a wrestling fan.
How the hell she didn't know who I was?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't know, like, really, honestly, when it came to the world of pro wrestling, didn't know anything even about China until she started doing research for this documentary. So it was kind of interesting to see her view of China, of somebody that didn't have any kind of preconceived notions or anything about her going into making this documentary. I mean, you couldn't get a more honest portrayal of somebody than the two-hour documentary that was on Vice last night. And, Mark, it was hard going to sleep, hard waking up this morning after watching that. I mean, such a sad story, especially the last few years of her life. You know, somebody that was able to overcome so much in her childhood, you know, bad relationship with their mother, bad relationship with their father, ending a relationship with their sister, having to battle all those personal demons and emotions and hit the high of highs in the pro wrestling community. She said, even herself, the best family she had was the pro wrestling family. And then, you know, falling as hard as she did. And what was really sad, Mark, even more than what was hoping to be the reconstruction of China, was all the people that surrounded China that she thought was
enablers.
Yeah, she thought that was her support system, but they were, just as you said, enablers and people that were completely taking advantage of her.
Yeah, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially.
Yep.
These people were just parasites. And I was, for a long time, I was hurt because I couldn't get a hold of her, and I felt guilty that I wasn't able to keep in contact with her, because I did, until I called her and then her phone didn't work no more. And then probably about a 2 or 3 year period passed, and then the tapes came out and she started doing, you know, the films, the adult films and stuff like that. And I didn't give a shit. It didn't affect me one way or the other. And I wanted to contact her, but I didn't know how to. And it wasn't like she was calling me.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to other people that she distanced herself from. Like, when you're in desperate need of family and you have people that call you and you stop talking to them, it's not their fault anymore. And that was one of the few things that I got out of that last night, because I was looking at the timeline and, like, now I remember, because I still talk to her when she was in Japan, when she wrestled in Japan. And then it just, boom, it was gone. Nothing.
It's so sad, Mark, because you look at that end and you watch that documentary and, you know, somebody who didn't really have a family, you know, and to your end, like,
she had one. She did, just,
I think she felt so ashamed, Mark, that, like, she didn't know how to face. I how do you face a Mark Henry, somebody that you knew when she was at her high of highs, and now when she's at her low of lows, like, with some of the things that she did in her past? Not that it would have mattered to you, but obviously mattered to her. She couldn't face that. She,
yeah,
it's such.
You
a
told
sad
a
story.
Great story to me off the air that put it in perspective. And yeah, I was mad at first, because I remember walking through the airport in Charlotte, and a lot of people probably remember this, but there used to be a piano, mm-hmm, in the Charlotte airport, and we're walking, and Joni, you know, and all of her, she was China on TV, but she was Joni outside. And she kind of, like, did this, like, show horse dance, running to the piano, and started playing the fucking piano like Beethoven or somebody. Like, I mean, I'm like, holy shit. I was like, we've been in the car together for, like, 2 months, and you never told me you could play the piano? And then come to find out last night, she played the cello, she played the violin. I'm like, what the hell? I didn't know she played other instruments, but I'm glad that the world got to see her for who she was. And she's a smart, bro, really smart. Not average smart, really smart woman. And I mean, it even showed at the end of her life, she was teaching English in Japan.
Yep.
So I would think that if you're teaching English in Japan, to an extent, you have to speak Japanese. So in a 5-year period, she taught herself how to speak Japanese in 5 years? I can't do that. And a lot of people listening right now going, yeah, me either.
Yep.
She was smart as hell, man. And I just feel like people like Billy Gunn, who I know, loved her as much as I did. And we all got pushed away. So the whole narrative of the family went away, the family disappeared. No, there's a lot of, she means the office fell out of love. It wasn't us. It wasn't Billy. It wasn't me. She pushed a lot of people away because, like you said, it hurt to, without mentioning any names, Dave, can you tell that story?
Yeah, I have a very close friend who actually listens to this show, but we're extremely close for years and years and years. And in 1997, my dad passed away. And soon after that, and I didn't think it was related at the time, my buddy is just like completely cut me off, like stopped returning my phone calls. I would go to his house, wouldn't answer the door. Like, and then after like, you know, months of trying to connect, just stopped. And about 2019, so just a few years ago, Mark, he reached out to me on Facebook because he started listening to the show, saw that I was doing good and wanted to reconnect. And when I saw him, you know, gave him a big hug, and I'm like, Billy, like, where the hell you been, man? Like, I haven't seen you, you know, in over 20 years. 20 years. And he told me that when my dad passed away, he wasn't able to get to the funeral, and he felt such shame, and he didn't know how to face me after that he just cut me off. Like, he just didn't know how to deal with it. And I was like, man, you don't understand, buddy. Like, I was so distraught that day. You could have told me you were there, and I would have believed. I had no idea that you weren't there. Like, think about it. The thing that brought him so much shame and got him so embarrassed to cut off a friendship, I didn't even know that it happened. So, Mark, you could see, like, it snowballs after time. I didn't go to the funeral. A few weeks go by. Man, I need to reach out to Dave. I got to apologize to Dave. I got to talk to him. But then a few more weeks go by, and then it starts to snowball where it's like, all right, this is way beyond picking up a phone and talking to somebody. Like, it could build up very, very quickly, and your shame could build up very, very quickly. But, like, if there's anybody that's listening to this story, listening to Mark and I this morning, believe me, with a brief phone conversation, you'll be shocked how much that could solve. Just reaching out to somebody, you don't know how much that could solve. Because, Mark, I'm sure everybody could relate.
Or in person.
Yes. Like, I'm sure everybody could relate where you've a friendship or even a relationship with a relative or a loved one has been so strained, and yet you haven't spoken for so long, and you probably don't even remember why the argument happened in the first
right.
place. You know what
right.
I mean?
And it was probably something that it could have been bad, but then most times it was blown out of proportion. And it was based on what other people thought rather yes. than what you thought.
And maybe and if China, but maybe if China would have reached out to you or reached out to Billy Gunn or reached out to people that really, truly, honestly cared, they even showed it, you know, with that memorabilia show where she bumped into Mick Foley. Like, Mick Foley was legit ecstatic to see her again and reconnect with her again. You know, I just think sometimes when you're a lost soul, Mark, and watching that documentary, and everybody who watched that documentary last night on Vice knows what I'm talking about. Those, that one director that was filming that documentary, like, completely took advantage of her, completely could have helped
which
her.
Which one?
Yeah, that's true.
Which one? They both did. One, physically. Like, he started a relationship with her. A personal, physical, sexual relationship with her. Where is your code of ethics? I have been deplorable in my life. But the one thing that I could always say, without a shadow of a doubt, call me out and if you want to. I've never, ever messed around with a wrestling girl. You don't shit where you eat. You don't do it. What in what world? And people have done it.
Yeah.
I'm not judging the people that did. I'm just saying I wouldn't do it. I've had advances. Didn't never act on them. I'm not a convenience guy. Nor do I want a trophy case. There are people out there that's sick, man. This guy, he's doing crystal meth. And he's working for a major production company. And he's supposed to be working. And now he's dating the client. It's so fucking stupid. It's only drugs would allow something like that.
And that is a big factor, too, is the drugs. But, you know, Mark, and, you know, we got to get into also the fact that, you know, the company that she loved and the company that she gave so much to turned their back on her as well.
Hi, this is Adam Schein, host of Schein on Sports on Mad Dog Sports Radio. The Adam Schein Podcast is back for another football season. I'll give you my passionate, hard-hitting opinions every week, including picks against the spread and fantasy football advice, all while talking to the biggest guests in all of sports. We talk to celebrities, media personalities, diehard football fans on a weekly basis. It's the Adam Schein Podcast, new episodes every Tuesday. You can listen to the podcast anytime on the SiriusXM app, iTunes, Pandora, and Stitcher.
What time is it?
It's Tony time with AEW owner Tony Khan.
Tony has done it again.
Busted open.
Yeah. Ah, back here on Busted Open. Dave LaGreca, Mark Henry. And that's right. It's Tony time. So let's bring in owner and president of AEW, friend of the show, the one and only, Mr. Tony Khan. Sir, how are you this morning?
I'm awesome, Dave. It's been a great week for AEW. I think this is some of the most media we've ever done and one of our biggest weeks ever to make big announcements and have a great episode of Dynamite on TNT tonight.
A lot to get into, and this was a big week. But, Tony, I do have a bit of a bone to pick with you to start off the segment this morning. I hope you're ready.
Oh, man. Okay. What's up, Dave?
All right. So here we go. All right. So you break this, I mean, awesome news. Obviously, September 22nd, New York City, AEW Dynamite's going to be at Arthur Ashe Stadium. We'll get into that because, like you said, that's huge news.
Yeah.
But it's where you chose to break the news. Now, I'm not upset that you didn't do it here on Busted Open. I'm glad that you did it in a New York City media outlet. But, Tony, you did it on WFAN at the same time on the competition of WFAN, which happens to be ESPN New York. My brother's show. You went up against my brother. You went up against Don LaGreca, my brother, to break the news on WFAN.
Well, see, this is the thing, Dave. I do a lot of things in the world of sports and wrestling. I, you know, work a lot of hours. I spend a lot of time booking the AEW show. I don't actually book my media appearances is one of the dirty secrets of. So, Mandy is who you have this beef with.
Oh,
so.
Don't you dare ever say a coarse word about Our favorite Mandy. Okay, so Tony, let's get into it, man, because that is huge news. See, good job of getting me off of it. You just mentioned Mandy. I can never say anything bad about Mandy.
She's great.
She's the best. She's awesome. So Tony, let's get into it. September 22nd, New York City, Arthur Ashe Stadium. You know, 22,000 plus in that stadium. Huge news hitting the New York City market in September.
It's such a great venue, Dave. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be one of the biggest episodes of Dynamite, and it's one of the biggest announcements we've made. And for us to make our debut in the New York City market, for us to make our debut in New York City, period, at Arthur Ashe Stadium is a dream for me. And it was something we'd planned for years. We wanted to do this before the pandemic hit, and we had plans to do it before the pandemic hit. And, you know, it's a long time coming for us to come to New York City. I'm really excited about it. And, you know, it's going to be such an awesome welcome back tour for us. I think, you know, we're finishing out our run in Jacksonville. We have tonight's show on TNT at 10 o'clock. I'm really excited about that. And then there's only a few shows left in Jacksonville. And as the NBA playoffs end, we're just over a week away from going back to Wednesday nights live every single week the rest of the year on Wednesday night. And I think one of the great things as we move forward, you know, we can look back at all the awesome shows we've done in Jacksonville, but we're about to go back on the road. Mark and I have gotten to spend a lot of time in Jacksonville, but Mark Henry here and so many of the great wrestlers in AEW, people who you think of as staples of the roster, they've only wrestled in Daly's Place, and they've never wrestled for AEW anywhere else. And on the one hand, that's awesome, and I love Daly's Place so much, and the fans in Jacksonville are the best, and they've supported us like nobody else. But as we go back on the road and go see all the fans, I can't wait for Mark and all the people across the AEW roster, people like Eddie Kingston, FTR, Ricky Starks, Will Hobbs, and so many others who've never gotten to wrestle for AEW in another venue. Well, we're going to hit Miami for Road Rager. We're going to hit Texas for Fyter Fest 2 weeks. And, of course, Charlotte for Fight for the Fallen all in the month of July. I think it's going to be awesome. And this announcement we made this week about going to Arthur Ashe Stadium for AEW Dynamite Grand Slam, it's definitely the most press we've ever gotten in a week. And it's really appropriate. I'm sorry I didn't break the news on Busted Open, but I thought I was, you know, since I usually see on Fridays and Mandy had this one scheduled out, I guess the schedules just didn't work out.
It's fine.
Well, and Tony, go ahead, Mark. I have to tell you, I did not find out via social media, even though I went on afterwards and started to retweet things. I had a friend of mine that runs the Rucker League in Harlem. I have a place in Harlem. I've been there since 2001. This guy calls me and goes, "Man, can you get me tickets to the show in New York?" And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, "Yeah, man, y'all, AEW, man, you're coming to New York." And I was like, "Hey, man, let me find out." And I told him I'd call him back. But this place is going to sell out in a minute. As soon as the tickets go on sale, they're going to be gone. I had two people call me. I had Hannibal call me from the Rucker League, and I had a representative that we really should touch real soon in the Harlem schools in Harlem and in New Haven. So I mean, it's like there's a lot of traction already. I can't wait to get to work on this.
I can't wait either. Well, you know, it's funny. I should have brought it up, Mark. We talked for like 45 minutes the other night, and I was going up to do this press conference, and I was like, it just somehow never came up. We talked about so many other things, and I guess I should have mentioned this, but we had so much to talk about. As I'm going back down to Jacksonville for tonight's show, you know, we did so much great media in New York, and like you said, there's so much appetite for this show. I'm really, really excited about it, and as we get ready for tonight's show, I think, and start going back on the road, this has really gotten fans even more excited and built more momentum for this particular show. But I also think across the country, it's really got fans juiced up about the tour, about going back to shows, and that's perfect.
From that Forbes article, which I found exciting, and exciting for you, Tony Khan, now that, you know, you've been coming on the show each and every week, but like your father being quoted, and he wasn't so sure about this whole wrestling thing, but knowing the passion that you have for pro wrestling as a fan and now succeeding and having this company, like that, I mean, that's got to be a great bond between you and your father, knowing like your passion for this and what you've been able to do in such a short time with AEW.
Thank you, Dave. And it's a great relationship. He's the best. And I think, you know, in the end, that was kind of where he left it, and it took a lot of fighting and a lot of business plans and a lot of presentations. So he definitely didn't just roll over and fund this project. I made a lot of cases, and after he saw I'd done the work, I mean, that is where he left it. He still didn't really believe it was going to work, but he could see I'd put in the time and had a business plan and had some ideas and had made some connections and definitely had made some progress. So in the end, he still didn't really believe in it, but he did take a leap of faith, and I'm so glad he did. And that was my dad. I mean, he really stole the show in that article. I thought that is really the highlight quote of the whole thing, and it's very fitting, I think. So I really enjoyed
that. No, but you know, it's Father's Day this Sunday, and that's your pops, and like, you know, I know for myself, and you know, I was always trying to impress my dad. My dad passed long ago, but like I always wanted to show my dad that, hey, you have faith in me. I'm gonna reward you. And dude, you're doing that. And I'm so proud of what you've been able to accomplish, man.
Thank you, Dave. It really means a lot, and that means so much to hear. And that's me too. And always want to make my dad proud and my parents proud, and they are. And they love AEW, and that makes me as proud as anything, because honestly, like everybody listening to the show, for the most part, I love wrestling so much, and I'm sure so many of you have family members who have no patience for wrestling, and if you're listening to Busted Open, it probably means a lot to you, and you know, you can't get your family to stick around, stay in the room when you want to put wrestling on, and you know, one of the great things about AEW for me, so many of my friends who never embraced wrestling have given AEW a chance, and they like it because AEW hasn't insulted their intelligence in some of the same ways, and they've found a lot of wrestlers in the company they're compelled by. And, you know, for my parents, I always joke around, they couldn't sit through wrestling for 5 minutes, and now they know every little character on AEW, you know, they know who Marco Stunt is. So, it's like, they wouldn't sit through 5 minutes of wrestling until AEW. So, I'm so proud that it's been successful and that I haven't let them down. But that quote from my dad is pure, unfiltered dad, and he is great family to me. And speaking of families and particularly of brothers, tonight on Dynamite, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention one of the really big situations that's been going on. The Young Bucks and another set of brothers, the Good Brothers and the Elite, Don Callis, have been running wild. They've all been interfering in the matches of the world champion, Kenny Omega. He's got a huge match coming up next Saturday, defending the title against the number one contender, Jungle Boy. And the rest of the Elite have this big match tonight against a combination of three different people who all have a beef with the Elite, and that's really what's tying them together in Eddie Kingston, Kazarian, and Penta, which should, I think, be a really cool match tonight on Dynamite.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I always, you know, I told you before, like, I love Penta. Definitely love Eddie. You know, like, those guys, they move the needle. And anytime you have guys that you don't even have to have an angle. You just put like two really, really talented people in the ring together. Nevertheless, three teams of guys. Like, it's only set up for a victory.
For Eddie Kingston and Penta, when Eddie Kingston first came into AEW, and I was honestly so blown away by his debut. I've always been a fan of Eddie Kingston. I knew he'd come in and do a great job, but I thought he just crushed his debut. And so I was really looking for a great place to fit Eddie Kingston in immediately. And a person like Eddie Kingston, you don't have to look too hard. And around Fyter Fest, we had this great match with FTR taking on, teaming with the Young Bucks to take on the Lucha Brothers and the Butcher and the Blade. And the Lucha Brothers and the Butcher and the Blade won this match. And Young Bucks and FTR are two of the top teams. And I really felt like we had captured lightning in a bottle with Lucha Brothers and Butcher and the Blade, and this would be a great time to keep that going and tell that story. And, of course, I couldn't think of a better person to be a mouthpiece and a central figure in this story than Eddie Kingston. And after working with Eddie for about 5 minutes, I wanted to do more and more with Eddie. And as we built towards All Out, I really saw Eddie as the central figure in the Casino Battle Royale that year and really wanted to build up a situation with Eddie and Lance Archer as the top two contenders to Jon Moxley. And now looking ahead to this show tonight, it's really cool to see Eddie and Penta back together with Jon Moxley, Pac, and Phoenix all being taken out by the Young Bucks and that BTE trigger move of theirs. The Elite in general, you know, have problems with all these people, but Eddie Kingston and Penta are out of that group, really the last two standing, and they go way back. They're best friends, or at least they used to be, and Eddie and Penta, I really think it's very cool, and it's one of those unique wrestling situations to see them banded back together now as babyfaces, and I'm very excited about that also. I really think Eddie and Penta both have been two of our strongest wrestlers in the past year, and Kazarian now, this Elite Hunter character he's doing, people are really into it, and it's been a great transformation for him. Kazarian and Scorpio Sky were the first ever tag team champions in AEW, and SCU had a great run, a great legacy here, and now they've both gone on, and they're doing great things and different things now, so it's very good for both of them also.
Speaking of babies, congratulations to Cody and Brandy, Liberty Iris entering the world this morning. So we have a new member of the AEW family today.
Big congrats. Thank you for bringing that up. Big congratulations to Cody and, of course, big congratulations to Brandy. We love them both so much, and it's going to be a special night. And for Code to wrestle, you know, as a dad tonight and get to team up with his student really should be a very special night for everybody here in AEW.
How about this? MJF having his own currency now? MJF of all people?
I bet you invested, Dave.
I gotta admit, it was tempting. Hey, just because I hate him doesn't mean I don't think it's a good investment. You know, you gotta be smart, you know?
Gotta make that money, Dave.
Hey, I mean, come on. If I got to take advantage of him in some way, but this cryptocurrency with MJF is very, very interesting. It's, man, Tony, you're finding new ways and inventive ways of getting the product out there. Of course, this push this week, this media push, and what you've been able to, and I know that a lot of people in my area, like, people are hitting up Mark, but I'm from Jersey. So I know a lot of people from my area are definitely excited about what's going to take place September 22nd. Obviously excited about what's going to take place tonight on AEW Dynamite, Tony. And listen, I know it's been hard with the NBA playoffs, but now you're building an audience for Friday nights when Rampage starts with Mark. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the future on Wednesdays and Fridays for AEW.
I really am too. I can't wait. I can't thank you all enough for making time for me on Friday, you know, and I'll miss doing this on Friday, but one of the great things about it is I would miss being with Mark Henry here on the Fridays, but it's going to be great because as we go back to Wednesdays, I get to spend those days with Mark anyway at Wednesday Night Dynamite backstage.
Boom.
There you go.
So
we'll still be together, Mark, on Wednesdays, and I'm excited for the show to move back to Wednesdays, and I'm even excited to do this show with Tommy Dreamer again on Wednesday. So
especially now that he fired Don Callis last night on Impact Wrestling.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with seeing Don Callis get fired. Tony, as always, thank you so much for the time. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and we appreciate you for giving us the time to talk about AEW Dynamite.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.